Let's have a word of prayer now. Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity to meet together. We thank you for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. We thank you for the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus made on our behalf. He had no sin of his own, but he paid the price and transferred his righteousness to us so that we could have a home in heaven one day. We're really thankful for all that he has given us. I was to be mindful of the lesson of the Sunday school hour and check those traits that we should not be having and make sure that we're living the way that you would want us to live. May your spirit prompt us to areas that are not pleasing to you. We pray that as we examine ourselves that we would then be able to partake of the Lord's table in a worthy manner. Be with us during the service today. We pray that your will be accomplished in our hearts and lives. We pray for Brother Siebel as he preaches the word, that he would be faithful and that we would receive it, and not just be hearers of your word, but doers as well. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take our books again. 801. Don't normally do this, but I think we could stand when we sing this song. 801.
Some of you have a strange face. I trust in the Lord, my face is not that strange. I've been privileged to serve the Lord for a long time. Once I was young, now I'm old. And Thomas said he's never seen anybody begging bread. And I'm sure glad for that. God's been good to his people, amen. And this is a special time for a church family. I'm somewhat like an adopted child. Feel privileged to be part of the family of God. So I said, you'll notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family. And these folks are so dear. And because of the shed blood and broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we gather here in this place.
It's been our custom in various places and locations. Maybe once a month, maybe every other month. Some churches do different things at different times. But there's one major requirement that I'd like to call to your attention. And you don't answer to me, you answer to these two men. No, sir. You answer to God. And nobody will examine you. In just a moment, we're going to read a Bible verse in Luke chapter. But let a man examine himself in this area. Just make sure that within your heart of hearts, there was a time, a place, where you bowed your head and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible teaches me that we've all sinned. I don't need to look too far to understand that that's a truism. Whether we be young or old, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so we need to make sure this is what we might call in theological circles open communion. You do not have to meet with the deacon board or board of trustees or anyone else. You need to meet with God. And when you and God meet and you get his stamp of approval, there's no man can override that. Make sure you're safe. Was there a place, a time, an opportunity that you responded to the Holy Spirit of God in your life? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. That judgment is based upon what you've done in this life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Has he become your Savior? Will you say, only one life I have, only what's done for Christ is really going to count? And so, in just a moment, we're going to take a moment to examine ourselves. We have no little booth for me to sit in and for you to come and say, I've sinned. But there's a Heavenly Father who knows your heart. And you're not going to tell him anything he doesn't already know. But you might want to communicate with him and let him know. So the Bible teaches, let a man examine himself. So right at the very beginning of the communion service, we'll have the piano play softly. And during that time, Just kind of let a man examine himself. And during that time, and you can do business with God, you can talk with God, he's there to hear all of us. So let's just take a moment as he plays. He's looking for a song, but that's just fine. And just examine yourself. Father, we thank you for a place where we can come and step aside from all the cares and all the burdens of the world just to be with folks of life like precious faith. We thank you for this time that we as a body of believers all across this land, but here especially this morning, this hour, have set aside to reflect. If we say we haven't sinned, we deceive ourselves. Oh Lord, we realize that. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. The purpose in life, to live it so that we might hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you for the family that's assembled here. Pray your hand of prosperity and blessing would ever be upon them. Use this time of searching and praise and gratitude and thankfulness to stir us on to do and accomplish greater things for you. Lord, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In your Bibles, if you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm just going to read several verses here and ask the Holy Spirit of God to impress it upon our hearts and upon our mind. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church, obviously at Corinth, said this, "For I have received," verse 23, chapter 11, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So often, we are short in memory. The older you get, the shorter your memory. And so we need to recognize that we may not have a long memory. But we remember well what God has done for us. Most of us can remember the salvation experience that we had, where we were, who was there, the circumstances, and so forth about it. If you don't have that, you need to have that. In order to be born again, you need to have that. Now, again, the aging process may rob us one day of that. But if you had it, you still have it. So if you're here this morning, I'm not examining you per se. Let a man examine himself. Have you been born again? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Was there a time and place where you cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? Each one of us, I would dare say, would give a slightly different testimony. But I think we would have in unison, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his broken body on the cross of Calvary covered those sins. And we petition, beg God to have them applied to our hearts and life. The first part or the first element that we partake is the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm flabbergasted, lost for words, when you stop to think that something we have ritually done for 38 years, 40 years, 50 years means so much to each one that's sitting here in this place. We're going to heaven because of what Jesus did and what's been recorded in here, and because we put our faith and trust in what he did. We've been blessed. We've been so blessed. We ought to be thankful for that. And we're reminded, "This do in remembrance of me." That's Jesus. "This do in remembrance of him." Remembrance of him. May we have that renewed commitment to him. What we're doing is for him. What you want is for him. What you need is for him. "This do," Jesus said, "in remembrance of me." And when he had given, verse 24, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Once I was a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from the Lord. This do in remembrance." And while you're sitting, and the gentleman pass out the element of the bread, the broken body, just think of what he's done for you. Just think of what he's done for you. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings? Gentlemen, if you take the bread and pass it out, and then come back, and we'll have a word of prayer. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Would you thank the Lord for broken body? Pray.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the bread and water we have. Lord, and Lord, it's a symbol of your body, Lord, that was broken for us, Lord, on the cross, Lord. And Lord, just help us to remember what you did for us, for our sins on that cross, Lord, where you suffered. We thank you, Lord, help us never to forget. In the name of Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Thank you.
Blood, Lord, that was shed on the cross for our sins. And thank you, Lord, it's blood and mercy seen in heaven, Lord. Things eternal redemption for us, Lord. Purges our conscience from dead works to serve the living God, Lord. Thank you. Help us always keep this in remembrance as we go through life. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may leave the cups and pass the cups forward. God, okay. Right. We're going to sing. There is sing that song.
there is a mountain.
Attached to the box, but I made extra copies. When you take your calendar or calendar just take one of those sheets. And it has all the information you need about the calendar, so I won't read it all. Just to highlight a few things, this is the same as previous years, not much different there, except for the info sheets. And as we always have done in the past, if you're a member or a guest here, you can take three calendars right now, and we'll do that for the month of October. And then after that, well, you can take more calendars, but we want to have let everybody have a chance to get at least three calendars. And they're free for the taking, but please use the ones that you take. Anything that's not included on this informational sheet, and if you have good eyesight, you can read the small one. If you have not so good eyesight, you can use the big one, large print and small print. Okay, but the information is the same. And so if there's anything that's not covered on this sheet and you need to ask me about it, please see me at the sound system. I'll be glad to answer your questions. Thank you.
Okay. The major announcement I have, of course, is I mentioned this in Sunday school. Our friend Margo has been coming here for a long time, has been able to come for some time now because of the pain in her back and her legs, and just recently she suffered a twisted foot as well, and so she's really struggling right now, and I brought a card over here, it's on the organ, if you would like to write a little note of encouragement to her and tell her we miss her, and anyway, I'll be mailing that out tomorrow, so if you would like to take that opportunity, there will be time after the service for you to do that. Don't forget to continue to pray for our church and our search for our pastor. Seven of us are working on it. Just continue to pray about that. Also, this is an offering we take every month when we have the communion time, and that's our Deacon's Fund offering. If you would like to contribute to that, it's to help take care of financial needs that somebody in the church might have. Take one of the envelopes in the back, put your gift in it, mark it for the Deacon's Fund, and put it in the regular offering box, and we'll take care of that. The same is true if you would like to contribute to Pastor Reddy and his work there in India. Put your gift in an envelope, put it for Pastor Reddy, put that in the regular offering box as well. And of course, as we do for all our guest speakers, we take a love offering for them as well. And so the blue box back there is for that purpose. So those are the major announcements I have for today that I'm aware of. We'll sing one more song and then the special message. 812 is all the way in the very back of the hymnbook beyond the index. Excuse me. Let's stand as we sing. 812.
Yeah. you have in mind. We don't need to, I don't need to sing a song. If you want to sing something,
yes.
Do it.
We're going to do that song again.
I've been with teenagers all my life, and I cannot recognize when I look in the mirror that the teenager's gotten so old. And when we sing that song, there's a praise God part in the chorus. You all know that. He knows where it goes in the chorus, okay? And you're going to do it, but we're going to sing. You do a great job. I cannot motivate you to sing better because you couldn't get any better than the best. And you do a great job. I'm sure God's pleased with that. So we're going to do it again. Just the first verse, all right? Can we do that? And you can lead the first verse? Okay. No song books.
He wants to do 1 and 3.
1 and 3? I'm glad for the key change. All right? You don't need to stand up. You'll do just fine sitting down. Someone's getting tired. It's good. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And that was good singing. I have said, I think maybe here, that we need to get a camera on the pulpit that points out this way so that you all can see what I have to look at while I'm preaching. But I thought to myself, I would still like to do that here in this place so that you could see how good you look. There's something about the countenance of somebody that loves the Lord that's worth recognizing. You've been in the marketplace, and on occasion you'll meet somebody and they just look like they're a Christian. There's just some air about them. And as I stand here this morning, I see that. And so we need to take it from the sanctuary into the marketplace, into the home, and so forth and so on. Our country needs what you have here. And our churches in the Northeast need what you have here. My brother said, well, why don't we just sing? I'm game for that, too. Yeah, I sing. And that's great. It really is. And if you could put it in a little, I guess, they don't make records anymore. You can put that on one of them tapes. No, they don't do tapes anymore. But anyway, you know, it would be great for people to know there's still, and it's not, when we use the term old-fashioned, it's not in the derogatory. It's the way that the way it was, the way it is, and the way that God wants it to be. And thank God for you. Continue the good work. In your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to give you the title of the message. My dear wife, who has been tortured with me for 53 years, she gives me some sound advice and some counsel. And 9 out of 10 times when I come up to preach, she'll say two words: stay focused. Stay focused. And so I prepare a set of notes, so I try to stay focused. Then we're all done. We'll get in the motorhome. We're driving down the road. Where did you get what you said from? I mean, I hope it came from the Bible, but I mean, you know, you didn't stay focused. I'm not promising to stay focused this morning, neither. When we're all done, I do want you to remember one phrase, along with some other things that we're going to share from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, doing something for God, caring for the needs of others, we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. Then there's three words: we faint not. I want to read it again. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received from the Lord, we faint not. When I read that, it kind of concerned me a little bit, because your spiritual success depends upon my spiritual success. Your spiritual success depends upon his spiritual success. And we faint not. That's a corporate group, we. And I thought to myself, well, maybe there's not a we. Maybe there's not a bunch of folks around. There's not enough folks around to make up a we. And then with the brilliant mind that I have, I came up with three of us: me, myself, and I. We faint not. You can think of people who once at one time sat in this sanctuary, who ain't sitting in the sanctuary any longer. Something happened. They were part of that corporate body of we, but you are the we. We, me, myself, and I. We faint not. Somewhere in your heart and mind, you need to renew that vow that you made somewhere along the way. Only when life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. And you said, we will serve the Lord. That's me, myself, and but nobody else is doing it. Everybody, no. We will serve the Lord. Now, if we get a church filled with we's, we're going to be in pretty good shape, will we not? And if everybody's doing what we ought to be doing, me, myself, and I, oh, he said we. Remember that? Me, myself, and I. Next time you see me, might be in glory. And I'll see you walking down the streets of gold, and I'll say, do you remember who we are? Me, myself, and I. All three of us are here. And I'll say, all three of you are here. That's great, all three. So we need in our churches, and especially here, just like any other church, I'd say probably especially, but we need to have that. We faint not. Life is not getting any easier for most of us. I've got physical challenges. I've got mental challenges. And so we faint not. We've got to have that drive and desire. Our nation needs some Christian folks that are real. They need to see Christianity as it really is. And that's what you folks have assembled here. And it needs to be maintained. It needs to be cherished. It needs to be reverenced. Don't lose it. We faint not. Failing is not an option. Quitting is not an option. We faint not. Ceasing is not an option. Things may not always be easy. Things may be difficult at times. But I know three people who are not going to faint. Do you know who they are? Say them. Me, myself, and I. There's at least three. And if you multiply that by the number of people here, you would just increase your attendance by threefold. Somebody asked you, we had a lot of people in church. Amen. Ceasing is not an option. Stopping is not an option. At what we call the ranch, where we lived for the longest period of time, we had a bunch of woods out in the back. We burned wood. We'd go out, and I couldn't afford a chainsaw, so we had an axe. And we go out, and we chop and chop and chop. And I bring some teenagers over, and I say, here's the axe. There's a tree. Chop it down. And they would get on that tree, and they'd go gung-ho for about a half. And they say, oh, man, this is too hard. Oh, there's a tree. That looks better. And they go over to that tree, gung-ho. They chop about half of it. They say, oh, there's a tree. That one looks better, easier. And they go to chop that. I said, when they're all done, I said, you chopped on this one, you chopped on this one, and you chop on that one, you fainted on that one, fainted on that one, and fainted on that one. If you stayed with the tree, you would have had it down. Life is filled with its hard times and difficult times, but God's looking for some people to say, we faint not. In our marriage, we faint not. I mentioned it before, Mom, I've been married 53 years. There's never been an argument, never a discussion. It's like paradise. You try living in that little motorhome and find out how far paradise is. It's paradise. We faint not. For better, for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, we faint not. Not. Let me read a little quote from the Queen of England. She's like, how do I say? I'm going to say, she's like some preachers. She was getting annoyed at the poor response that she was getting for the invitation to come to a gala event that she was having. And sometimes, like a preacher, will invite people to come, and he's expecting all the folks to come, but come Sunday morning, they all make an excuse. So she sent out an invitation, and on that invitation, she had, I don't know if it was gold-plated or whatever, but she had it on the invitation, all excuses ceasing. When I read that and I heard that, I said, what in the world does that mean? All excuses ceasing. It means you can't tell the queen, I'm tired, I'm not coming. You can't tell the preacher, you can't tell the fellow Christian, I'm tired. Why weren't you in church last week? Well, I was tired. All excuses ceasing. Amen? That's three of you grunt. One of you said amen. Come on, let's try. Amen? We faint not. All excuses ceasing. I'm tired, I'm hungry. I had company come in, and you could think of more and more and more, quote unquote, valid excuses. If somebody was giving away $100 bills or $1,000 bills, I think you'd make some arrangement to get here. Somehow, some way, you'd find a way to get here. And what you've been blessed with in the singing and the communion and so forth and so on, it's worth it all when we see Jesus. We faint not. I'm going to say, I don't know how true this story is. When you hear it, you'll know it's not true. So I'm going to tell you anyway. It's an illustration. But on the farm, and we had a goat and all that kind of stuff and the horses and what have you. But we never milked the cows. I wish I had because I got tired of drinking vanilla. I was having vanilla ice cream. They have four udders coming down, don't they? One's chocolate, one's strawberry, one's vanilla, and one's whatever you want. And so that we faint not. We one day on what we called the ranch, some frogs got loose. You know what frogs play? They play leapfrog, right? Well, they were leaping across the barrels. You know how you fill them barrels up with the you fill them. Well, somebody forgot to put the lid on one, and there was about a half a dozen of them there. The frogs jumping from one to the other, and the other ones chasing, jump. Switchplash, they were taking a bath down in that milk. And they got down inside that vat of milk, and they didn't know what to do. How do you climb out a vat of milk? So one said, forget it. We've had it. So he gave up fighting or doing anything. He quit. He fainted. Blup, 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 blup. He sided down, floated, sank down, I guess, sank down to the bottom. The other one said, I remember in church on Sunday morning, That bald-headed preacher came and said, "We faint not." He looked at his buddy, the "we" part, just saying, no. He said, "I remember that preacher said, me, myself, and I, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking and splashing and splashing and kicking and kicking." You know what he was doing? He was churning that. And the more he churned it and the more he kicked, he said, we ain't quitting. We faint not. It turned into a butter. And he climbed up on that little floating section of butter. When he got up on top of that, you know what he did? You got it. He jumped out. Why? Because he said, "We faint not." Too many of our churches out across the Northeast in this part of the country, folks are just quitting on it. Quit on it. Somebody got mad at you. You got mad at somebody. Whatever it is, hogwash on it. We faint not. God needs a group of people and an individual with the "we," myself and I, who said, we're not quitting. We faint not. In your Bibles, verse number 1, it simply says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received, we faint not." Turn your Bibles, if you would, with me. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. I'm going to read it for you, but Galatians 6 and verse 9 simply says this: "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if..." What are the next three words? Talk to me. What are the next three words? "We faint not." All excuses ceasing. We faint not. I think there was a baseball player who said, "It ain't over till it's over." Some of you may know that famous baseball player. "It ain't over till it's over. It ain't over till it's over." We sing "God Bless America." It ain't over till it's over. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. We read verse 1. Now I'd ask you to read with me verse 16, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish..." Things I used to do, I can't do them anymore. My hand shakes, my legs are weak. "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." We faint not. Over in the book of Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10 says this: "If thou faint in a day of adversity, thy strength is small." What I'm trying to do is encourage my heart today to keep on keeping on. To say, "We faint not." To keep on doing what God wants you to do, what God wants me to do. "If thou faint in the day of adversity," that means things are going to get hard. Things are going to get tough. For some of us, it's not as easy to put our shoes on as it used to be. For some of us, it's not as easy to tie our tie as it used to be. For me, it's not easy to comb my hair anymore. I got to first find it, and then I got to worry about, you know, it's rough. We faint not. Go back to verse 1, chapter 4, 1 Corinthians. Can you do that? 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. I'll hope to make some sense before we're done here. But I want you to remember, we faint not. God needs a standing army that are ready to charge the devil with a water pistol if occasion arises. With us saying, "Lord, we faint not. We're going to keep on keeping on doing what God told us to do, what you told us to do. Yesterday, the day before, a month ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago, when I got saved, we faint not." Verse number 1, I'm going to read it for you again. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." We have this ministry. Let me say again that ministry is caring for the needs of others. We have back home at church, we have a bus ministry. This morning they ran out 13 or 14 buses. So they have a bus ministry. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we have a school ministry. In the evening, we have an adult education ministry. We have a nursing home ministry. And we have all these ministries, just like you have ministries. The poor ladies in the nursing home, they have a ministry. And Sunday school teachers have a ministry. And song leaders have a ministry. We have a ministry. That's doing something for someone else. It's all about someone else. It's all about Jesus. It's all for Jesus. We have this ministry. I jot down here in my notes, in mind of that, It's caring for the needs of someone else. We have this ministry. And what ministry do we have? We sing. I just jotted some things down, okay? We sing. That's a ministry. I had to sing that song again, not knowing I was going to make mention to it like this now. But that was a ministry. We all participated in that. We had a choir with one recipient, me. The choir. You have a choir at your church? You better believe you have a choir. We have a choir director. We have a piano player. You have a choir. You do that for the glory of God and for the blessing of somebody else. We sang that song, and I think, spiritually speaking, you felt better after you sang it than you did when you came in maybe this morning. Or did you feel better? Or am I putting words in your mouth? Wouldn't that just kind of get you going? Wouldn't it be nice to hear that when you walk into Kmart or Walmart or whatever other thing? Wouldn't that be super to hear? Uh-huh. We faint not. We have this ministry. It's singing. We're talking about witnessing. That's a ministry that we have. We faint not. We faint not. There are various ways of distributing gospel tracts. Whatever way you can, get that gospel tract. We have that ministry. We teach. We visit. I like this one I jotted down. Baptist folks are known for more than one thing, but one thing, food. We have this ministry. We eat. Uh-huh. Not this way. This way. We have this ministry. We eat. And it dawned on me after I wrote this down. You know, at our church for those 38 years, we would have covered dish and banquets and all that kind of stuff. And some of the stuff would be made at home. And ladies, you'd bring it in. And I was always concerned about the dish that never got touched. And I said, that's my ministry. I'm going to eat the dish that never got touched. Somebody says, Rev, what's your ministry? Eat the dish that never got touched. Because I'm thinking of the poor lady who made her favorite stuff something, spent hours with it, baked it, brought it hot in a box, wrapped up in newspaper to keep it warm, put it out on the table, and it's now been 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever, since we started, and nobody touched it. And I'm thinking to myself, that poor lady. She's going to be, a ministry is caring about the needs of somebody else. I have an eating ministry. Anybody want to join me? But it means you eat the one that's not been touched. We have this ministry. You say, well, that doesn't sound very deep, theological, spiritual. It keeps God's people together. I'm so glad we're a part of the family of God. You remember the first, fellas, you're married, you remember the first meal your wife made? And she's trying to figure out why you never touched it. You know what I mean? It would have been nice if you said something, that's my favorite. I always like my potatoes burned, charcoal. Oh, charcoal baked potatoes are my favorite. Try to get the chainsaw out to cut the potato up. We have this ministry. We give out gospel tracts. We share, we drive, we pay, we repair. My point for you this morning is we have this ministry. One of those ministries is caring for the needs of others. I jotted down here, I'm just looking through the list. There's lots of things. We pay. What a ministry that is. Amen? That's all they ever do. Thank God you don't pass the offering plate. Amen? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. You all smiled at the same time when I said they don't pass the offering plate. You all got happy all of a sudden. We are happy people. Yeah? But praise the Lord. You have that ministry of paying and giving and taking care of what God has bestowed you with. Amen? Ain't it thrilling to have missionaries? Uh-huh. It's thrilling to have missionaries. It's thrilling to have a Sunday school. Two Sunday school classes. Did I hear that right this morning? Two Sunday school classes. Two becomes four. Four becomes eight. Amen? Your math is as good as mine. You got space for that in here. It ought not to come as a shock. Amen? Praise God. God's there waiting to bless beyond what... beyond what he's presently doing. Amen? And sometimes we kind of go, wait, God's blessing. God's doing great things, and we need to be thanking God for those great things. Can I get an amen? I didn't bring my little button that I have, usually I push down. It says, amen. Amen. And I got one, you know, I got one for my foot. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So when you see me go like that, it's amen. Like, no. We need to have that. We faint not. Let me mention a couple more things here quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 16. Go over there. We have this ministry. We're caring for the needs of others. The biggest need that others have is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you had that filled, you got eternal security. Once saved, always saved. You're not going to lose your salvation. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. But we do not well if we just keep it here. You can give it away and not lose it. You can give it away and still have it. You follow what I'm saying? You can tell somebody else, here, you need this. And the fellow says, yes, I do. Good. Here, you can have it. But you still have yours. So we give away something we can't lose. Verse 16 of chapter 4. For which cause we faint not. Which cause? There is a cause that God has given us, the salvation of precious souls. For this cause we faint not. We cannot, in the eyes of righteousness, we cannot quit on God. 270 churches we've been in, give or take. Some of those folks have given up on God. We faint not. You can't give up on God. I don't want to face one day. I mean, I may have gotten up the bat and struck out every time, but at least I'm going to get up the bat. I might sing a song every time off key. I think he's up here going like this when I sing. Yeah, and we're going to say, as a Bible believer, we're staying by the stuff. We're going to keep right on. God wants you to. You are trained in a way you should go. And we need to keep right on marching in that direction. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. I jotted down in my notes here. I'll go ahead and say it. But for this cause, our country is worth occupying for. Our country is worth. God bless America. Land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her. We want God to bless America. But God wants to use God's children to bless America. I believe he's anxious to see that done. We'll never have utopia, but we ought to have a direction. We ought to be facing in that direction. We ought to be desirous to do what God would be pleased with. Couldn't you ask yourself the question, everyone, is God pleased with this? Is God excited about this? Is God happy with this? Don't always wait for the preacher to come along and say, let me tell you. You ought to be telling the man who stands behind this pulpit, we're happy people. We are happy people, praise the Lord. And we love the Bible, God's own word. Satan had a hold of me. Jesus came and set me free by the blood of Calvary. Oh, praise the Lord. We're happy people. We faint not. God bless America. Our country is a cause worth fighting for. We stand a better chance of spiritual survival when we have more Christian folks busy about God's business. I mean, doing what God wants you to do. We talk about gospel tracts. Doing what God wants you to do. There is a cause, our country. I jotted down here in these notes, there is a cause, our church. The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ our Lord. We are his new creation by water and the word. There is a church. There is a place here in this community that ought to stand without apology for the old time gospel. And folks out there need to know it. No matter where you are, no matter what's happening, they need to know it. There is a cause. I believe this country is a cause. I believe this church is a cause. I believe our children is a cause. I believe the youth of this nation is worth fighting for. We need to, I will confess, we need to confess, me, myself, and I, we need to confess, we blew it. What could have been, should have been, might have been a little bit more godly nation, we blew it. We got a little bit interested in what I don't have, a dollar bill. We got a little bit more interested in money. We got a little bit more interested in beauty. We got a little bit more interested in fun and frolic. We got a little bit more interest and a whole lot less interested in God. Testimony of that is down, and I mentioned this place to you before, but Ocean Grove, old-time Methodist folks. I'm not endorsing their doctrine, but the hellfire and brimstone was there. Old-time Methodist church. They built an auditorium to sit 10,000 people. You know what they did? Because of the decrease in participation, now it's a 6,000-seat auditorium. Well, that's big, but they lost 4,000. The church we need, and children we need. Thank God for the little young lady sitting right down front here. Amen. There's the future. We need to find you a husband, quick. There's a future, but along with that, we are securing that young lady's future. I believe children are of extreme in God's economy. Suffer little children coming to me. You've all seen that picture with Jesus with the baby child on the knee. There you go, right there. Let me, back in Jersey, this happened a good time ago, within my lifetime. The flash floods, did you all have flash floods around here? You all know what flash floods are when it's raining. All of a sudden, the rivers get, the streams get bigger, the river gets bigger, the river gets bigger, the ocean, whatever. And back in Jersey, a mom, for whatever reason, during a heavy rainstorm, got in the car, strapped her two-year-old daughter in the back seat, and put that child in the back seat, secured, so forth and so on, and took off to go to Walmart or someplace, you know, down the road. And it started to rain. It started to rain heavier, and the stream filled up and so forth. And it was stormy and lightning and all that kind of stuff. It was terrible. But she kept right on going and kept right on going. Finally, she came to a place where the stream had broken into a, like a river size and went right across the street, right across the road. So she decided she could get through it. I don't know if any of you have ever tried that, but let me advise you, it's not the wisest thing to do. We say, I made it, I'm sitting here. Well, maybe it wouldn't work that way for everybody. So the mom decided she was going to try and get through. Well, when she went through, you can't see how deep that water is, and so naturally it came up over her wheels, stalled out the car, stalled out the engine. Now the car with the little baby in back, baby's crying as if it was babies almost always do, and unless you have a perfect child. But anyway, the mom is there panicking right now because the child's in the back, the child's crying, and the water's coming in, and she doesn't know exactly what to do. She decides to unstrap the child, pulls the strap over the seat. Now the water's coming in through the doors. They're not watertight. Coming in, and it's beginning to fill up with water. So she takes that child. Says, I've got to do something. It wasn't a smart thing the way the paper reported, but she opened the door. When she opened the door, all the water came rushing in. Now, she knows that if she stays there, the car is going to fill up with water. She figures she's got a little chance if she gets outside, uses the car for protection of the stream flowing down there, holding the child. She may stand a chance with maybe somebody coming by. She knows the current's too strong. You can't walk in that current. That mother had to be brokenhearted knowing what potentially might happen. Somebody riding down somewhere over on the side, a little higher terrain, was able to stop and get out the car. The mother didn't know what to do. She's holding that child up. In order to keep the child from consuming the water, she had to hold the child up like that. And it was more than just a minute or two that she had to before that car came by. And her arms are getting tired. We faint not. No, I didn't preach the message on Sunday, and this happened on Monday. We faint not. But she was in a predicament that she knew because of the well-being of that child. She could not faint. She could not let her arms down. She held her arms up and arms up. Fortunately, someone else stopped. And they were able to make a human chain out to where she was. And they transferred that child to that chain. And they took that baby back to the shore. Those who formed that chain turned around to get the mommy, and mommy was gone. That current carried her down. She drowned. I don't know if she knew that little saying, "We faint not." But because she had that determination, that child was saved. We need some Christian folks today who would be that determined. Say, "We faint not." There's a child that's depending upon you to sing, to praise God, to write a note, to do something, whether it be that child. I did not attend a funeral. The mother was laid out in the funeral home. An unusual casket was secured. When they laid her out in all that fine linen, her hands, as she was laying in that casket, were in that position. We faint not. We faint not. God needs us to reach out and rescue some little boy, some little girl, some teenage boy, some teenage girl, some nursing home mom, some old age home. We faint not. Can you commit yourself to God anew and afresh? We're not quitting. We're not stopping. I may have to hold my hands up like this for a while, but we faint not. We faint not. Now, I'm not a whole lot for visual decisions. And I'm not going to ask you to sit in your pew and say, I'm going to decide to faint not, and I'm going to raise both my hands. But would you raise your heart to God and say, "God, give me the strength to faint not"? Hey, we got no strength in our own. Now we'll sap, look at me, we'll sap out the energy that God's given us somewhere along the way. God's given us some energy, amen? And the culture and all the other kinds has sapped some of that energy. I don't know about you, but when I come to church here and I hear the singing, and we can't do a singspiration, I hear the singing, it kind of rejuvenates, does it not? And we can say, "We faint not." And so leave this place this morning, yes, with uplifted hands, with an uplifted heart, saying, "We faint not." But let the whole congregation know. You're not by yourself. You're not by yourself. I commend you. You're doing a great job. I'm looking at you and saying, "We faint not. We faint not." Hey, there's a bunch of folks up here, Ma. They're saying, "We faint not. We faint not." I don't know how you're going to measure all of the spiritual success. But one day you'll be in heaven and somebody's going to say to you, "I remember you. You couldn't sing. When you went to sing, people cried. I remember you." I'm not talking about you particularly. I just remember you. Amen. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ. Let me stop. But I do want you to remember that thought. The next time you see me, it may slip out of my mind, but don't let it slip out of yours. Rev, we faint not. Tell God, we faint not. God bless us. We're here and we're not going to faint. We're going to keep on keeping on. Heavenly Father, bless these dear folks. I trust something, a portion of a Bible verse that was read, an idea that was shared, a thought that was given, your Holy Spirit could use. Lord, I want to hide behind the cross. Lord, I pray that you'd raise up a standing army here in this place. That a group of people have blended their lives and their hearts and minds together. Give them the desire of their heart as long as their heart has your desire. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. My good brother, you going to play?
Search our own hearts and make sure that we are right with you. And once that has been taken care of, help us to not faint, to have the strength through your power to accomplish what you have called us to do. And we pray that your blessing would be upon us as we seek to do what would be pleasing to you. Give us safety now as we travel to our destinations, and we pray that at the next appointed time, we would be here as you tarry, and we pray that your will be accomplished in our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.